Guys, what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. So we're looking at the Gospel of Mark, and the reason why we're looking at the Gospel of Mark is to get to know Jesus, to understand who he is, understand what he's there for, what he's trying to accomplish, understand what faith is. And so now we're coming to the end of chapter 6. We've seen Jesus do some amazing things. We've seen him basically heal people, cast out demons, raise the dead. We've seen him when he's on a boat that's in the midst of a storm, getting up, just speaking the word, and amazingly, the whole lake stops. The storm stops, and they're like, who is this? We just watched him when we looked at this passage before. We watched him feed 5,000 men, not even to mention the number of women and children who were there with him. We watched him do amazing things. Today, we're going to have another incident that's just flat out amazing. But what really, really blows my mind is how people react to him. And today, we're going to focus in on people who are right around him. We're not just talking about the crowd who wants Jesus to heal them. We're not even talking about the Pharisees and the leaders and so forth of Israel at that time who reject him. We're talking about people who are his disciples, who are real close to him. And then you realize that even though they're that close to him and they're seeing him do these things, they don't have any clue. They just don't understand who this is. Now, that's relevant for you and I. We say, oh, I understand who he is, George. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, crucified, buried, raised on the third day, gives me eternal life. I put my trust and salvation in him. Yes, that's true. That's what we believe. But it actually goes a little bit further than that, and sometimes I don't really think we grasp it. The reality is who he is and what that means for you and I, because now, if you have put your faith and trust in him, you have a relationship with him, which, by the way, is very different than any other human relationship that we can have. What do you mean? I've already mentioned during prayer time that our relationships are fragile, right? You can have a long-standing relationship with someone, or it can be a short-term relationship with someone. The minute something goes wrong in the relationship, how are people feeling? Hurt? Angry? Some are ready to give up on the relationship. They're ready to just say, that's it, I'm done with it. And that's how we operate. Did you understand what I'm saying? That's how we operate. And we think somehow our thinking, because we're conditioned that way, we think that the relationship with God has to be the same way. That his love for you is conditioned upon you. I'm going to tell you right now, it isn't. It's not conditioned upon you at all. If he called you and you responded to him by faith, he's got a purpose for you. He's got something he wants to accomplish. He wants to interact with you. In fact, this is my favorite psalm, Psalm 37. I believe it's verse 23 and 24. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in them. All right, just think about that for a moment. The steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. God is the one who's setting out your life before you. And then it says, are you listening to this? He delights in them. He takes delight in them. So, and that realization hit me the other day, okay? Because I think, does anybody know I have a grandson? You're laughing because we all know George. And so his parents were away on vacation all week, so I've been having Thaddeus deprivation, okay? Because I like interacting with him. And so yesterday, Lori went with our missionary for a walk, and I'm sitting in my chair, and my phone rings. It's FaceTime, and it's Foster. Oh, what's Foster want? And there's Thaddeus talking to me. Well, I'm talking to him. And the reality is, I just took delight in that. Now, did he do something for me to delight in him? No. In fact, he wanted to go to sleep. That's why Foster was FaceTiming him. He said, Dad, we're only 20 miles away from home. He's got to stay awake. Can you keep him awake? Okay, so I'm doing hi, Thad. I'm doing all this stuff to help keep him awake. But I'm delighting in it. This is how God is with us. Some of you need to hear that. He delights in you. Well, there's nothing to be delightful about me. Okay, yeah, okay, that's what you think, but that's God doesn't operate by what you think. Aren't you glad for that? So in our passage today, we're going to see some disciples who weren't cluing in. And we're going to try and learn some things from them, okay? So I want you to notice with me, we're going to look at verses 45 to 56. And I want you to notice what Mark records. And let us see what we're supposed to learn here. Immediately, he made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethesda. And while he dismissed the crowd, and after he had taken leave of them, he went up on a mountain to pray. And when the evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. He saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. For they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they crossed over and came to the land of Gennesaret and moored to the shore, and when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized them and ran about the whole